from WJCT in Jacksonville. This is our weekly news magazine and the news podcast of the First Coast. I'm your host, Vince Kong, and this is Redux. It's Friday, December 9th. There are exactly 16 days before Christmas, 15 before the first night of Hanukkah. So on this episode of Redux, we're going to bring you our holiday extravaganza, featuring everything from toy safety to ways not to get scammed online while shopping. We'll also have an update from our previous podcast on First Coast Foods and much, much more. But first, some news. JEA, the Southeast's largest public utility, is launching an internal investigation into inappropriate emails circulated by its employees. The emails are surfacing at a time when the federal government is looking into alleged racial discrimination in JEA's hiring practices. WJCT's Ryan Bank has more.
Two racist jokes were sent and forwarded using JEA work emails back in 2007. At least one of the employees who forwarded the messages was a JEA supervisor. One email with the subject line "Father's Day in the Hood" plays into the stereotype of black absentee fathers. It contains an image of several black men running away from a black child who holds a sign asking for his daddy. The second message's subject line is "The Last Child Support Check." It's a story told in first person using broken English reminiscent of slave narratives. At the bottom is a picture of an open-mouthed black man missing teeth, shocked he'd been paying for a child who wasn't his after all. JEA Chief Human Resources Officer Angie Hires says the emails violate the company's communications policy, which prohibits discrimination of any kind.
Everybody has the right to come to work to feel valued and respected while they're here. And one of our core values here at JEA is respect.
JEA employee Al Johnson recently alluded to the existence of such emails on WJCT's First Coast Connect, saying they're examples of a cultural problem at JEA.
There's definitely a systemic issue, and JEA doesn't want to address it. I think the way they've dealt with it in the past is they deal with each individual case, but we want to bring more light to this so it's not an individual thing. It can be looked at for what it is, and that's systemic discrimination.
Johnson and four other current JEA employees filed complaints with the Federal Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, alleging they were routinely passed up for promotions because they're African American. JEA can't comment on pending investigations, but HR head Hires says diversity is a top priority for the largest community-owned utility in the Southeast.
One of the things that we'll plan to do upon identifying all of the employees that might have been recipients or part of the email chain is to determine if they're really and truly still JEA employees. And each of those employees will have conversations with labor relations and human resources as a part of this overall investigation.
Public records obtained by WJCT show at least five of the employees who forwarded the emails are still employed at JEA. At least one of them was promoted between then and now. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
Parents of children who attend an all-girls charter school as well as an all-boys charter school in Jacksonville are scrambling to find new schools after just learning that theirs will soon close. As WJCT's Lindsay Kilbride reports, Valor and Virtue Academies will be closing their doors by the end of the month.
Valor Academy of Leadership, an all-boys middle and high school, and Virtue Arts and Science Academy for girls only, have a combined enrollment of 350 students. On Thursday, parents of those students were told they'd have to find them a new school. Our partner News for Jax spoke with Tiffany Hayden, the mother of a Valor Academy 7th grader. The student said he wants another school just like Valor.
He's happy to go to school. Before, he wasn't so happy. He runs out the car before I even stop the car. So it's shocking that they're closing, and it's sad, you know, because he learned a lot.
Profectus Learning Systems, which runs the school, said in a letter to News for Jax, the schools didn't have enough money to continue running past the first of the year. The Duval County School Board was scheduled to vote Tuesday to start a 90-day process of shutting the schools down, but that process won't be needed after the announcement of immediate closure. Charter schools draw money from the district that the state allots based on how many students attend, but charters operate independently with their school boards. Last year, Virtue and Valor middle schools received D grades from the state. Virtue and Valor high schools received Fs. Lindsay Kilbride, WJCT News.
Does it shoot? Is it small? Does it strangle? Is it sharp? Or is it hard and capable of causing injury?
Coming up later on the program, how to make sure the toys you buy this holiday season are safe. But first, as part of our ongoing coverage on First Coast Foods, Duval County's burgeoning crop of community gardens could soon be the model for other cities. That's according to one high-ranking U.S. Department of Agriculture administrator who was in town earlier this week. As WJCT's Ryan Bank reports, the visit was part of a national urban garden tour.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing the rain. We needed
it. Looks
how
beautiful
it is.
Isn't it amazing? Now,
USDA Deputy Undersecretary Ann Bartuska is being led through a maze of raised garden beds on a lot nestled in the middle of a West Side neighborhood. After her tour, she says Jacksonville's model for urban agriculture can be exported to other American cities struggling with economic development and access to fresh foods.
The whole issue of urban agriculture is there's such a variety of models out there.
Duval County's 33 community gardens stretch from the far west side to the beaches. The UF County Extension Office either directly manages gardens or helps community organizations, including churches and nonprofits, with planting, training, and outreach. Each community garden has its own rules. Some collect dues from their green thumbs, while others are almost exclusively commercial enterprises that sell produce to restaurants and markets. Bartuska says Jacksonville's gardens have all the hallmarks of successful strategies she outlined in an urban farming toolkit earlier this year. And she says Duval is going a step further in its accounting.
This is the first time I've ever seen a number that equated the amount of value per square foot translated to the crop value in real dollars. I mean, that in itself is a tremendous statistic, because then that is real money that you can turn to a policymaker and say, look what you're getting for this.
An Extension Office survey shows community and home gardeners produce close to $2 million in fresh fruit and vegetables every year. Ryan Bank, WJCT News.
With about 2 weeks left before Christmas, Florida retail sales are projected to be about 4% higher this holiday season than the last. At the same time, shoppers are expected to spend about $935 each on gifts, decor, and a little something extra for themselves. Here's WJCT's Jessica Palumbo with more on this year's holiday shopping outlook.
The Florida Retail Federation represents store owners, and it closely tracks forecasts going into each holiday shopping season. That's defined as the last 61 days of the year, and it's huge for retailers. One example, says Florida Retail Federation CEO Randy Miller, is jewelry stores do 26% of their year's sales in these 2 months. He says economic indicators show this year especially will be very good overall. In difficult times, he says, people buy only what's on their family's wish list.
Well, in good times, we will purchase those items on the list and even some special gifts for ourselves. Because, hey, we deserve it, right?
Shoppers are expected to spend a record $140 on gifts for themselves this year, he says. And holiday shopping is expected to bring good cheer to retailers long past the official season. That's because roughly $30 billion in gift cards are expected to be purchased nationwide, and most won't be redeemed until January or later, if they're redeemed at all. Jessica Palumbo, WJCT News.
What better way to kick off the holiday season than the official lighting of the state Christmas tree? Florida's 2016 state Christmas tree was lit earlier this week at the Capitol by Governor Rick Scott and his wife, Anne. The Florida-grown Carolina Sapphire is one of roughly 16,000 trees that will be harvested and sold by more than 100 Christmas tree farms across the state this year. Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam urges all Floridians to support local tree growers at Christmas time.
In this season of hope and faith and redemption and celebration, this is an exciting time for all of us to come together and celebrate a Florida business that's growing fresh from Florida products that will, you know, really brighten up the homes of lots of Floridians.
This year's tree at the state capitol was provided by Ergel Christmas Tree Farm of Dade City in Pasco County. Florida's fresh Christmas tree industry adds about $3 million a year to the state economy. Just last year, 11 kids died and 254,200 toy-related injuries were treated in U.S. hospital emergency rooms. That's according to the Consumer Product Safety Commission. Wayne Hogan, president of the Terrell Hogan Personal Injury and Wrongful Death Law Firm, joined Melissa Ross earlier this week on First Coast Connect to discuss this year's 10 Worst Toys list, which is compiled by the organization WATCH, or World Against Toys Causing Harm. Among the things to keep an eye out for are toys purchased online as well as on sites including eBay and Craigslist.
You have to be careful when if something is out there secondhand or if it's in a place where you're not going to be able to physically put your hands on it and evaluate it. A couple of things happen. Number one, in the thrift store, the warnings may be gone because the packaging is gone. And you have the situation that something may have been recalled. Any number of these toys around the country that come from across the sea, of course, will have been recalled for defects. And the Consumer Product Safety Commission is not going to keep them, catch them all. And once they get in the secondhand market, then you run the risk.
So with all the toys out there, how exactly would you know if the toys that you've already purchased are safe? Hogan explains.
It's easy to check. You can check with the Consumer Product Safety Commission, their website. You can check with WATCH's website, which is called toysafety.org, or we keep a list on our website at terrellhogan.com. You know, truth of the matter is, if these injuries happen, then a person can call a personal injury and wrongful death lawyer. We don't want that call to ever have to be made. We'd like for it to be prevented, and that's why every year we try to introduce awareness for the population so that people are careful and they ask themselves, should I buy this?
To listen to the full interview, visit wjctnews.org. First Coast Connect airs weekdays at 9 a.m. on 89.9 FM or streaming on our WJCT app. As more and more shoppers move online this holiday season, the opportunity for web-based fraud has only increased. Not only are more thieves lurking, shoppers' comfort with e-commerce is leading to some risky behavior. As WJCT business analyst John Burr tells news director Jessica Palumbo, be careful out there.
John, what's the biggest threat lurking out there?
There's a lot of them, but the biggest one happens to come in the form of emails. Those offers you get looks like a legitimate offer from a big name retailer, but instead it's from hackers. I spoke with Jeremy Brandt. He heads up IT for Florida Capital Bank.
98% of threats usually come in through email. That's what we fight every day. They're hard to decipher. Are they good or bad?
Lesson number one here is do not click on the links from those emails. That's how those hackers, they load up your computer with malware. It's designed to steal information from your hard drive, you know, passwords, account numbers. They can sell that stuff on the black market, and that can be used to steal your identity and your money eventually. So the best thing you can do when you get an email, you like the offer that's inside it, go to the store's actual website and look for that special offer there. And always make sure that that website you're making a purchase on has an address that starts with HTTPS. That S is absolutely critical, and it stands for secure. And another step you should take is keep your computer and your phone updated with all the latest operating system updates.
you want to do those updates because a lot of times they have security flaws that have been found and those will be patched. You also want to have antivirus, anti-malware software, and you want to make sure that's up to date.
What else can we do to stay safe, John?
Avoid public Wi-Fi when you're making a purchase. This is hard. Let's say you're in a Starbucks. You have 5 minutes, you're sipping your latte, and you think, oh, gosh, I have some time to buy my brother that present. Don't do it over the public Wi-Fi. There are things hackers do to get into that system, and it's relatively easy to steal information that way.
Okay, so wait till you're in the comfort of your own home to make those online purchases.
That's right, or use your cellular service. That's okay. Much more secure than Wi-Fi. Also, avoid using debit cards. Use a credit card when you're making your online purchase.
If somebody drains your bank account, you're out your money, whereas with a credit card, it's a multi-billion dollar industry out there, fraud for the credit card companies. They have dedicated teams that are going to do their research and they're going to give you your credit back.
Another tip, don't store your credit card number on a website.
Oh, but it's so easy.
Yeah, it is. It's easy for the hackers when they come in and steal your credit card number. There's a lot of old school advice that you should do, like check your credit card and bank statements every month, especially during the holidays when you're buying a lot of stuff.
Is that it, John?
There is one foolproof way to protect yourself against cybercrime. Get in your car, drive to the store, and buy your stuff there.
WJCT business analyst John Burr with some tips to avoid getting scammed. I'm WJCT News Director Jessica Palumbo.
And that's our show. You can find all of our audio and web stories at wjctnews.org. You can also stream this podcast as well as all of our on-air content on the WJCT app, which is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. And of course, find us on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe. The Doo-Wop Revival features the best in street corner harmony and doo-wop, a cappella, and a little bit of soul. You'll hear classic hits as well as obscure doo-wop ditties from the 1950s and 60s. Join host Glenn Fisher, the king of the doo-woppers, for a trip down memory lane Sundays at 8 p.m. and Mondays at 9 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT-FM or streaming on our app. Here's a sample of what you'll hear. Please enjoy.
When we sing those harmonies, we hope it brings back memories. We're doing doo-wops, doing doo-wops like
ding,
these.
Ding, 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 bom, 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 bom.
Just a fool, a fool in love with you. Earth angel, earth angel.
Shudud, shubidud, shudud, shubidud, shudud, shubidud, shudud, shubidud.
Still.
Shudud, shubidud.
Of the night.
And that concludes Redux. From WJCT in Jacksonville, I'm Vince Kong. Thank you for listening.